Be'ezus Hashem, we're now beginning a Parsha class, Parsha Vayera, and today's date is Yud Cheshvan, going into Yud Aleph Cheshvan, Tov Shin Ayin Ches, corresponding with the English calendar, October 30th, 2017. And the subject matter we're going to be touching tonight is the power of tradition, the eternal ingredient of Avraham Avinu's success. Avraham Avinu, we know, is the father of the Jewish people. Avraham Avinu was not the only person who spoke about Hashem. He had people before him as well. Shem and Aver, the greats of his previous generation who lived on, Malki Tzedek, Melech Sholem, that's brought in the Chumash and Pashas Lech Lecha. Even the person by the name of Peleg was a Navi, and he gathered people and spoke of the name of Hashem and made people aware of Hashem's existence. Yet Avraham Avinu was the only one to succeed in being successful in getting the following to be eternal, to perpetuating the name of Hashem after he passed away. And what was the ingredient that made Avraham Avinu successful, and that he passed down, that ingredient exists till today, and it continues forever and ever? This is the ingredient where he maintained the teaching of Hashem through tradition. What does tradition mean? It means it was not enough for him to learn about Hashem, for him to teach about Hashem, but to be able to see to it that his children carry on the message, and that their children should carry on the message forever and ever. That was the ingredient. Shem and Aver were great people. He taught the people in Choron. He says, "V'esanevish asher osu b'Choron." He literally made thousands of converts in the city of Choron. Where are they? Where are their descendants? Where are the descendants of Shem and Aver? We don't hear about them. They disappeared. The answer is they just taught the name of God in their own circles and didn't want it to perpetuate. It just remained with them until they passed on. Avraham Avinu was different. Avraham Avinu maintained the name of God as a tradition to be passed on from generation to generation. My Rebbe Reb Chaim Dov Keller in the Sefer Chideko mentions something very beautiful. He mentions there were three tekufos, there were three parts, there were three episodes in the life of Avraham. Each one maintaining and advertising the name of Hashem. Each one was very important, but it was the last one that made the difference. We know a story. The Medrash tells us that he destroyed the idols of his father Terach. He was aggressive. He didn't stand idle. He says, get rid of those idols. What are you bowing down to, sticks and stones? It's worthless. Can't help you. He was aggressive. The second level was more than just being aggressive. But then he taught the people in Choron, like I just mentioned a moment ago, the ways of Hashem, and he made thousands of converts. They were taught that there is a God that created the world, and things just didn't happen by itself. But finally, the clincher was that he went and he taught his child Yitzchak that he should teach his child Yaakov forever and ever, and that's the reason why you and I are around this table today, thousands of years later. And that was the clincher that made it happen, that Avraham Avinu became the father of the Jewish people. The pasuk in Chumash, Perek Yudches, pasuk Yudches and pasuk Yudches, it's on page, I think it's 80.
80 and 80.
80, that's it, page 80. I believe it's page 80. Yeah, bottom of the page, pasuk Yudches begins, Ve'Avraham, is that the last word? Ve'Avraham hayo yiyeh l'goy gadol v'atzum. He was yet to become a great and mighty nation. V'nivichu v'akol goyei ha'aretz. And all the nations of the world will praise themselves in him. Now, what was happening over here? Hashem was about to destroy Sodom. Sodom was a gift, part of Eretz Canaan, that he was going to give to Avraham. Hashem said, how can I destroy a piece of my gift I'm going to give to him without Avram knowing about it? Maybe as a way of saving them. And he says, I know he's going to become a great nation, but I love him. Ki yedatev, the pasuk yutes, ki yedatev, I love him. L'man, because asher yitzave es bonav ves beise achvav, because he's going to command his sons and his household after him. V'shamu derech Hashem, and they will guard the ways of Hashem, which is what? Lasos tzedakah u'mishpat, to do righteousness and justice. Why will Avraham teach his children tzedakah u'mishpat? Next part of the pasuk, l'man hovi Hashem al Avraham, in order that Hashem should bring al Avraham es asher dibur alav, all the blessings that he sought to him. So he's going to go ahead and teach his children after him tzedakah u'mishpat.
How do you define in the Torah justice? I get charity.
Justice, from the word just, doing the right thing. U'mishpat is correcting the wrong. Justice is the positive. U'mishpat is correcting the wrong, so the justice is straightens things out. The world without tzedakah or mishpat was the world of the Mabul, the world of the flood. There was no tzedakah or mishpat.
What does tzedakah mean?
It means literally charity. it means it translates into charity. It's one of the things that righteousness expresses itself. Tzedakah itself literally is an act of righteousness. You can fulfill tzedakah by calling up a friend and giving him a good word of encouragement. You know he's down and out. You can go bikur cholam. It's also a maisa of tzedakah. Not every act of tzedakah means you have to take your wallet out and spend some money.
Wow.
Tzedakah is an act of righteousness.
Giving up your time could be an act.
Giving up your time and helping somebody. We just finished with sukkahs. Helping a neighbor put up his sukkah and helping him take him down his sukkah. Some walls are just too heavy for one person to do it alone. Can't get into his garage. Just needs 15, 20 minutes from his neighbor. That's all he needs. The rest he'll do himself. Tzedakah. It's an act of righteousness. The world cannot exist without tzedakah u'mishpat.
Is righteousness the same as kindness? Like an act of kindness?
Yes, yes, it also can filter into that.
So any good deed is a...
100%. Any good deed is an act of tzedakah.
So if a judge sentences somebody, that is an act of justice. He's correcting the wrong, by
so that's called
the
mishpat. He's doing a judgment, a justice.
It's a form of justice.
Definitely. We know from the last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Shalosha Devarim Ha'olam Kayim, three things of the world exist, on Emes, Din, V'Shalom. You have to have Din, you have to have judgment, right? There has to be truth, there has to be Din, and there has to be V'Shalom. So, he taught his children the way of Hashem. The way of Hashem is tzedakah u'mishpat. Justice means also not lying and not cheating and not be a conniver and not doing things that are underhanded and devious.
That's
justice. You're straight as an arrow. You are what you are. You are what you see. You see what you get. This is an act. This is a person who's just.
Just.
He's just.
Comes from justice.
Yeah. So
according to the Torah, according to the commandments.
So he taught his children tzedakah u'mishpat. So going back to what I said for my Rebbe, although Avram was very successful in bringing the message that idol worship is a waste of time, and he was vigilant, he was aggressive, he destroyed the idols, it almost cost his life because Nimrod found out about what he did to the idols of Nimrod, and he was thrown into the furnace as a result. He was saved because he was completely committed to Hashem. The second thing was bringing about a whole generation of Gerim. Extremely, it was the next step. It wasn't just aggressive. He was modeling how to behave, how to be a Noved Hashem, a believer in God. But that was not the clincher.
Gerim are converts?
Huh?
Gerim
are converts. But that was not the clincher. That was greater than just destroying idols. The clincher was this pasuk, tradition, to teach his children that they should teach their children till today tzedakah u'mishpat.
So that's the essence of Torah, two words.
Righteousness, right? And justice.
That's the essence of Torah. If you want to put Torah into a few words, it's these two.
Now that we have
tzedakah,
tzedakah u'mishpat. So now that we have explained this, we understand the power of tradition, the power of Avraham Avinu. What do we have today? Let's fast forward 4,000 years. What you say in davening every day, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha kihilas Yaakov. Torah that Moshe commanded us is a Mayrasha, is an inheritance to the congregation of Yaakov. It doesn't say a Yerusha. It's not an inheritance like a cheer, like a house. It's a Mayrasha. Mayrasha means it's something that you have internalized and acquired it, and you then are passing the truth to your children. A chair, a house, a diamond ring, or anything physical could be was given to you. You'd even work for it. Torah is something you have to work for. You have to work on Torah to acquire it. If you acquire Torah, then you could pass it to the next generation. If you don't acquire Torah, you can't pass on to the next generation. You can pass a house to the next generation. You can pass a car to the next generation, if you can pass a bank account to the next generation, but you can't pass Torah.
So what kind of inheritance is it?
It is a mayrasha. Mayrasha means it's an inheritance of Torah that you've acquired and you are teaching it to your children. This is exactly what the pasuk says. Why Hashem loved Avraham, this week's parsha.
It's a form of inheritance.
It's a form, but it's not the same inheritance that you...
It's like an education.
Not a physical inheritance. It's not a physical inheritance, it's spiritual. But it's an inheritance that you have to acquire to be able to pass it. You can't give something that you haven't acquired to the next generation.
So it's a spiritual inheritance.
Exactly. Lahavdil Elef Havdalos. Let me pick two physical, mundane examples. And maybe it'll really crystallize my message. If the father is a musician, he loves music, and he plays it well, he could pass down that talent to his children if he teaches his children well. If a father is a carpenter, and he's an expert in the field of carpentry, and he knows all the tricks of the trade, he can teach that to his child if he can get them interested in carpentry. You understand? It's a skill. It's a knowledge. It's a talent that can only be passed down if he acquired it. If the father didn't acquire it, he can't pass it. Avraham Avinu was loved by Hashem because he was a Mayrasha. He was not just to inherit, but he inherited his talent of tzedakah u'mishpat by teaching it to his children, that his children shall teach it to their children and the children to their other children. That's called a Mayrasha, an inheritance that is acquired by learning and by handing it over to the next generation.
Is it a form of osmosis?
In a way, but only if the father has acquired the Torah and he passes that knowledge to his children with the same heart and dedication. Yes, he can do it.
And what you mean by acquiring? You mean by studying?
By studying, exactly. Exactly. Right. So that the children could see by role modeling.
Right. Monkey see, monkey do.
Well, that might be a very coarse example. I have a student of mine. Unfortunately, I met him in shul a year ago. No, maybe 6-7 months ago. Found out that he was divorced. I felt very bad for him. So we got to talk a little bit about his kids. He's living separate now. He's trying to encourage his children in learning. I guess there was a Yiddishkeit problem with his wife. So I asked him, did your son ever see you learn?
Yes.
But my son knows. I go to Daf Yomi. What do you mean? I didn't say that. Did your son see you in front of a Gemara sit and learn?
No.
And it's silent. You want to inspire your son with Torah? Sit around so he can see you. Sit around with a Gemara, let him watch your study, and you'll see there'll be a change. Because the fact that he knows you to go to a daf, the fact he knows you're studying, is all, it's in cyberspace. It's not the real deal.
It's not concrete.
You have to see it.
See Torah, it to believe it.
Avraham Avinu taught us Morasha, taught us the way Torah is inherited to a next generation. By you acquiring the Torah, by you internalizing the Torah, and by you passing that on to the generation, because they see it a Torah Schayim.
Or you should be like inspired, let's say.
You will.
Feel the inspiration.
That's the only way Marasha will happen.
Right.
They see you're inspired by the learning, that you've acquired the learning. It'll go to the next generation. Can that simply be done by a father sitting and learning alone? And the answer is no. We begin the day, most Siddurim have Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem at the beginning of the davening. If you don't mind, could you get me a siddur? I'd like to read it. I'll just show you. It's in the siddur.
Okay.
You can give me a siddur behind you too. You'll look on with me.
This is siddur?
That's up here.
Different to my shul.
Okay, doesn't matter. Here.
Oh, bring out the wrong book.
Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem.
Page 2.
Reishis Chochma, the first of all wisdoms, is fearing God. Seichel Tov L'chol Oseyem. Good understanding is given to all those who practice it. Tehilaso Amedus La'ad. The first of all wisdoms is fearing God. Could you teach Torah by desecrating Shabbos? He's going to see what's going on over here. It's an intellectual pursuit. It's not going to stick. Every profession that's worth pursuing needs a suitable environment. If you're a doctor, no less a surgeon, you need a sterile environment.
He's a dental surgeon.
You need a sterile environment. Otherwise, if you don't have a sterile environment and the surgeon is doing cardiac surgery, infection will come in immediately. If you are recording audio or artist in the studio, you need a soundproof environment. Otherwise, you ruin your recording. If you are a butcher, you need the tools of a butcher to be able to do your work as a butcher in that environment. To be able to succeed in Torah, you need a Torah environment. Just to learn a piece of Chumash and not be dedicated through a Yiras Shemayim, through fearing God, will not stick. You will not be a Morasha. You will not be a transmitter of that Torah that you have learned to the next generation, that it will stick. Because to see, it's not done in the proper environment.
What is that?
We need an environment of Yirah Shemayim, of fearing God, Derech Eretz, an environment of respect. You have to have a Torah environment. Is an environment of respect for Torah authority, an environment of Derech Eretz. Then Torah could flourish. Without an environment of Yirah Shemayim, it cannot flourish. It's interesting to note that in my siddur that I have at home, after the words Baruch Shem Kivod Malchusei Li'olam Ve'ed, doesn't say it here, is Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marasha Kehilas Yaakov. Right after mentioning it, I asked myself, I thought the mission of a Jew is Torah. That should have been the first pasuk. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marasha Kehilas Yaakov. Why is it the third? The answer is, because you can't teach Torah without a Torah environment. And if there's no Yiras Hashem, then you can't succeed in teaching Torah. Once there's a Torah environment, then you can succeed in teaching Torah, and Torah will then flourish. Now I think we can understand a specific mitzvah of Hochech Techiach Es Am Yisrael, to admonish a friend who's doing the wrong thing. A person is doing something wrong.
Rebuke.
To rebuke, but with respect. Rebuke with respect. There's a pasuk in Vayikra, if we can quickly turn to it, Perek Yutes, pasuk Yudzayin. It's good to look at inside Yutes, pasuk Yudzayin, page 66660. Pasuk Yudzayin. It's interesting to note that this is a mitzvah in the Torah. Why? Because if we are going to be transmitters of Torah, we are going to teach Hashem's tzedakah u'mishpat, righteousness and justice. So when you see an injustice, what are you seeing? You're seeing Hashem's honor being put to shame. What are you really seeing? Hashem's honor being trampled upon. How could you stand by? If God forbid you saw the honor of your father humiliated, obliterated, you just stand by and say nothing? At least you'd say, keep quiet. At least you can say, maybe you can tell me in the privacy of my home so I can discuss it with you, instead of just advertising and assassinating his personality. Right? Your honor to your father is important. The honor of Hashem should be equally important. If you go to shul, we have to honor Hashem by not speaking idle talk that has nothing to do with Torah, nothing to do with davening. But very politely, if someone is engaged in a discussion that's of course disturbing, you very politely say, excuse me, but we're in the middle of davening, could you please not talk or just step outside? As difficult as it is, it's a Kiddush Hashem. You fulfill the mitzvah of Hochech Techiach Es Am Yisrael. Why? Because that's in line with Hashem's honor. And that's exactly what Avraham did. He taught his children to teach their children to honor Hashem and to continue with tzedakah and mishpat, and his children continue on till today. That's the reason why you and I are around this table. Because my job is to teach Torah, because my Rebbe taught me Torah, and his Rebbe taught him Torah, and back and going down to Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm connected. I had great Rabbeim, and my Rabbeim who had great Rabbeim from Europe, and their Rabbeim going back into the generation into Europe had great of the great that make me look like a germ in comparison. But that doesn't take my responsibility away for me teaching Torah, even though I feel I'm so small, because that's my mitzvah. I'm fulfilling what Avraham Avinu did in his day to teach tzedakah and mishpat. If I'm in class every morning, I'm teaching tzedakah and mishpat, righteousness and justice. I was on a phone call tonight with a parent for almost 20 minutes. Difficult boy. I started my conversation with the boy. We had a conference. I said to the father today, this afternoon, I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to your son on speakerphone. And we're going to have a meeting. You don't have to be in front of me. You'll hear me, I'll hear you. And I started off my conversation by saying, to this boy. We call him Chaim.
How old is he? The boy.
8 and a half, 9.
Okay. At the yeshiva?
No, no, no. I teach grade 3.
Where do you teach?
Grade 3 and 8 Chaim.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I said to the boy, your father and I want the best for you. We're here to help you. I told the boy, I want you to know you are a brilliant young man. Brilliant. A tutor helps me. An assistant takes him out. He has a problem, can't sit. Can't sit.
Attention issues.
Terrible. I said, we have to work on helping you. But the first thing you have to agree is that you're doing something incorrect and we're going to find a solution.
You're saying this to the 8-year-old?
Yeah. And father and I all in this meeting.
Is he getting it?
What? He sure did. At the end of this, I felt I was fulfilling tzedakah u'mishpat. I'm here to help maintain a discipline of righteousness and justice.
So how did you resolve it?
I came up with a plan. I said to the father, okay, if he can't daven completely, we'll let him daven until a certain part. Give him a coloring book or a reading book or an activity book. I'll give him permission to interrupt and do that. And then I'll go continue davening. His desk has to be completely free from anything other than books. Because otherwise he's doodling, otherwise he's cutting, otherwise he's doing everything but davening.
So it was the issue of davening that was the problem?
It's really paying attention in on a colossal level. So I want to break up his day so he has increments of where he can pay attention.
Chunks.
Exactly. Yeah. Increment chunks. He pays attention. I give him permission to do other things. But I got to follow instructions.
Does he have a shadow?
Not yet. But I don't think he needs one.
Okay.
I say he's a brilliant, brilliant young man.
Yeah.
Brilliant. But the only thing is, we've got to find a way of conditioning that behavior.
It's very tough.
Because otherwise, he's all over the place. And otherwise, his marks plummet.
Is it going to get worse?
Of course.
Is he on the written list?
Not yet, but I'm just saying, whatever it is.
To help this kid.
The bottom line is tzedakah u'mishpat. I'm telling this to you. I'm revealing you what happened an hour ago. Whatever. I'm revealing you what I'm doing. This is my life. I'm dealing with kids. Tzedakah u'mishpat. Righteousness and justice. And that's my job, even though, in comparison to my Rebbe, his Rebbe, going back, where we have a tradition till the Vilna Goyen, the great Goyen from Vilna, was like more angelic than human. I am connected to him, because my Rebbe connected him, till him. You understand what I'm saying?
Unbroken chain.
Where I'm connected.
Amazing. But isn't that Judaism right there?
That's exactly what I try to bring out.
Tradition.
So I'm going a little bit over time. I just didn't want to go beyond. So the bottom line over here is, we see that the Torah provides us a mitzvah of hocher tochiach, giving reproof. Because what you're doing is you are advancing the tzedakah u'mishpat, the righteousness and justice of Hashem. You are keeping the honor of Hashem aloft.
By rebuking.
But rebuking with in a proper, appropriate way. And therefore, going back to my title, it's tradition. Is the eternal ingredient of Avraham Avinu's success. And with that, we fulfill Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe Marosha Kilos Yaakov. We become the transmitter of Torah in our generation by us acquiring Torah in the proper environment to give to our children so that their children will give to their children. And with that will merit, hopefully soon, the coming of Mashiach. Amen.
Amen.